Welcome to Money Moves. This is a program that helps you take control of your financial life. No jargon, no judgment, just actionable financial advice. It's also like an HGTV show, Mark, because we've got a new set. Aren't you excited?
Look at this table.
Mark loves this cheap table.
For me, this is what I wanted. It's much more of a natural setup.
Oh my God, he's such a baby.
Not for nothing, but I didn't like just sitting across from you having to stare at you.
Gang,
well, I love you, Jill.
Who doesn't want to look at this punim?
I wanted a spot for my computer, for my little notepad, my calculator, I have my water bottle down here.
All right. Anyway, let us know what you think of the setup. Hey, gang, we are here to try to walk through whatever is relevant in the world of finance and things you might read about, and also make sure that we talk about the things that are important to you. Mark, I would like to bring up one of these oh my God, crazy stories, which I think prove that there is always a boom and bust going on in the financial world. Hedge fund situational awareness created by Leopold Aschenbrenner, 20-something, 24 years old. This guy was seen to be like a investing genius. 20-something years old. Wait a minute. I can predict the companies you should be investing in, which AI companies. I know this. I'm the guy. I'm the man. And, you know, it's sort of like anyone who can convince rich people that they are the person, then perhaps those rich people are not as smart as you all think. They are always able to invest in dumb things or dumb ideas and try to attach some expertise to a person who may or may not have it, but boy, they'll buy in. So here's what happened. Beginning of the month of July, this dude had a fund that was worth, let's call it $30 billion.
Yep.
In just 1 month, that $30 billion went to about $8
billion. Oof.
And none other than Ken Griffin of Citadel, big, massive hedge fund, was able to swoop in and buy the portfolio for a fraction of what it was worth. I don't know. It's a private deal. Mark, what does this tell you about where we are with the investing in AI?
Well, I mean, this guy, let's just call him Leo. Leo, I mean, he basically started a hedge fund and just invested in nothing but AI companies, right?
Correct.
He was all in on AI.
That's
all, and you know, being all in on anything when it comes to the financial world is kind of like incredibly against our fundamentals, Jill.
Yes.
We are not all in on anything. You know, that's why we love an index fund, right?
Yep.
It's a big basket of a bunch of different things. When you go all in on something, this is the risk that you run. I mean, AI, is it a boom and bust? No, it's not going away. AI is here to stay.
Absolutely.
I use it every day. You use it every day. Everybody I know uses AI every day. And it's like the tip of the iceberg right now. But there's a zillion AI companies out there. You know, when I ride the New York City subway, all I see now are AI ads for these companies I've never heard of.
Yeah.
All these companies, they're going to be gone. Like the vast majority of them are going to be gone. They're going to get gobbled up or they're just going to cease to exist.
Yeah.
That's why what this guy is doing is very, very risky.
Yeah. And so just to be clear, you may not be investing in a hedge fund or private equity, but I think the takeaway is that, you know, he got a bunch of rich investors to give him $100 million a couple of years ago. The thing balloons up in value. You can't get your money out. It's locked in. And guess what? They ride it all the way back down. The interesting thing to me is like a general takeaway is that you want to take a flyer?
Right.
No problem. Mark and I just interviewed this guy, David Booth, from Dimensional Fund Advisors. This is a place no one's heard of. They manage $1 trillion of money. And what did he say to us? He's like, you want to bet on something? Yeah, 5%, maybe 10% of your total invested assets, fine. But here's a guy who's been doing this. He says, I got 100 years of data about publicly traded companies. And I'll tell you, it may be really boring to hear, but you've got 100 years of data that shows that you will find 10% return annually. And you want to try to do more than that? Great. Just take a flyer with a smaller amount of money. I guess that the other thing to remember is that when someone is pitching you like, I'm the expert, they may be and they may not be.
I mean, for the people watching and listening to this, if you're hoping to find the next, you know, Tesla or SpaceX or NVIDIA in one of these AI companies, fine, go for it. I hope you're right.
Yeah.
But like you just said, no more than 10% of your overall portfolio.
Oh, and one other thing. If you're working for one of these AI companies and you have a big slug of stock that is coming to you, I understand that everyone wants to bet on like the, you know, the big payoff, right? I'm gonna hit a home run on something. When you're doing your own future projections about retirement, and you say, this is what it's worth today, even though it's not a publicly traded company, maybe it's a small private company, presume it's worth zero.
Yeah.
When you're doing all your calculations, zero. And then if it's something, fantastic. And if you have a chance, if you're, it's a publicly traded company already, and you have a chance to buy the stock inside your 401k, then I would say be careful there too. If you're getting options or some sort of units in the company, you also have money in the 401k, your income is also dependent on this company. Gang, come on. We have been through a lot of cycles where things look great and then terrible. And it doesn't mean that you can't take the flyer, but if you are going to take the flyer, please, please, no more than 10% of your invested assets. I know, it's very boring.
Total, not 10% in this AI company and 10% in that AI company.
10% in wildly speculative bets. How about that?
Total.
Okay, it is time for a Jillionaire question. We are joined by Chris. Now, remember, gang, if you want to come on the air with us, just go to jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, give a check for audio or video, doesn't matter, and join us, and we can talk through what's going on. Chris, welcome to the program. What can we do for you?
Thank you both so much for having me. I am about 47, and I'm calling because I have some big financial goals that are kind of lining up. I'd love to retire in about 10 years at 57 or 58.
Okay.
I also have a kid who's 13, and I'm about 6 years. I'd love to send them to college debt-free. Nothing crazy, just a public college, nice and respectable four-year institution. And then I also have an aging parent that I may need to care for in the future, though the kind of shape of that is still unknown.
Okay. And are you married, single?
I am. I'm married.
Does your partner work full-time and do you work full-time? You are retired,
I do
obviously,
work.
So you're full-time, yes, but is the partner working full-time?
I do work full-time. My partner is an entrepreneur. So
you can't count on that for anything.
What does that mean?
That means means an unreliable income source.
We consider our financial story like I'm the bonds, they're the stocks.
Okay.
You know? So sometimes it can go like they could make $0 a year or they could make $250,000 a year.
I like 250 better than zero. What about you, Mark?
Yes.
You
yes.
and me both.
Okay, good.
It's intermittent. And then I'm also saving for our kids' college in a 529 plan.
How much money's in the 529 plan, just out of curiosity?
I think we have $37,000 now.
Okay.
And we've started to contribute about $600 a month. But and the my parents' health concern is new. Mm-hmm. So it was really, I felt pretty confident about the retiring at 57 or 58 and college.
Mm-hmm.
But with this kind of additional complexity, then I started to worry, like, is 57 or 58 real?
Well,
if I'm going to be supporting a parent as well, or
well,
what
how old's your
I
parent
do?
Who needs help, maybe?
They're 72.
You know, Mark, every time I hear about these ages of the parents, I start to feel like, well, that's not that old. And then I'm like, because I'm getting closer.
Right.
But she was recently diagnosed with a degenerative health condition that could leave her, you know, incapacitated.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Does she have any money on her own? Is she has Social Security? Does she have a pension? Does she have a little savings?
She does. She has Social Security and a pension.
Hmm.
And I think she's covering her basic needs now. In just a regular apartment, right? She can pay for her groceries, her car. And she's working part-time to kind of have spending money. but I don't know how much longer she'll be able to do things like drive.
So you think she's going to have to get like real help, like go into a facility?
Eventually, yes. I don't know if she can move in with us, but something is going to have to happen. Mm. You know, I think that she'll eventually need more help, whether that's, you know, Medicaid, sending in home help. We just like in where she lives in Texas. There are some kind of state subsidized apartments for seniors, and you can get a low rent there, like $800 a month or something. But that doesn't include any care, and then it just goes up from there. Do you know, like a nice apartment in a senior living community with a little bit of help is like $2,000, and then of course step up care is like $6,000 or $7,000 a month, and she definitely does not have the finances to cover any of the higher levels of care.
So like kind of the good and bad news is that, you know, there's no one there to help take care of her. You're going to take care of her. But, you know, right. When you think about it, it is possible in this case that she could actually qualify for Medicaid, meaning that you spend down whatever money she has. She could go into a facility and pay for it with her Social Security and her pension, and she would be okay. I don't think that maybe, I mean, it's scary in general, but I think if she were to qualify for Medicaid, Mark.
That's why it's there.
It is why it is there, and it might be helpful.
Okay.
And that could probably relieve a lot of the tension you feel, because this sounds like a lot. This is the classic sandwich generation. So tell us about a little bit, Chris, like how are you managing this emotionally, which is frankly probably more important than even the financial.
It's really hard.
Oh, you know what, I get it, because this is a lot, and it's and you are carrying this burden, and that is a lot. And I think
that what a lot of people might like, I want her to have a very high quality of care.
Right.
So when I think about Medicare or Medicaid, I hear, you know, I think about horror stories about,
I know, it's not all
seniors
that
being
way.
Abandoned in the hallway or something.
No, I hear you. I hear you, honey. I totally get it.
People hear Medicaid and they have like,
but I know
bad.
That there, but
freak
I think
out,
that
I
there are great alternatives. Medicaid would also help defray costs in the home for sure. And, you know, there are wonderful care providers out there. And you're not going to let that happen to her. You're not going to be. I mean, when I hear those stories, I also kind of get freaked out. And I just know that it's sort of like that if you really are involved, you're not going to let that happen. And we're going to figure this out. OK, so that's number one. We're going to figure this out.
Great.
So if I were going to do triage on this, Mark, I would say number one is I'm going to be continuing to have a real focus on planning for mom, that I'm going to do my due diligence. I'm going to get my tush to Texas. I'm going to be researching and making sure I understand exactly what's available, because I think that once you have that, it will give you more peace of mind. And then I would say number two is you continue to set it and forget it for retirement. I'm not guaranteeing you're going to get 10 years to retirement. Have you saved a boatload of money?
So I work with the federal government, and I have a FERS pension.
Great.
So I have the amounts if I take it at 57, 62, and 65.
All right, give me 62.
Okay, 62 is $2,714 a month.
And what's your 57, your goal date?
$1,975.
All right, so it's a so it's a $700 difference, and then you'll also be able to have a Social Security claiming strategy and all that. And how much money have you socked away?
I have a TSP.
Yeah, tell me how much is in there.
I have $360,000.
What about your busted entrepreneurial partner? Do they save anything?
No, it's all combined.
Okay. I suppose that the partner doesn't come from a lot of money. That would help me feel a lot better about the entrepreneurial endeavors.
Well, we are going to get an inheritance from their parents of about $1 million. Inherited Roth IRA.
Are you hiding the most important piece of information?
Sorry.
Okay.
How healthy are
in
the parents?
Right. Are they old
Probably
and
in
decrepit?
The next 20 years.
20 years?
So
God. All right. Wait a second.
Yeah.
So I'm going back. I want mom is priority number one. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to save extra money for mom, but you do have to do the research. Okay. Mark, number two is retirement.
Damn, yeah. The kid comes last. I'm sorry.
This kid comes last. Sorry, babe. Okay. The $600 that you're putting in the 529 plan, Mark, would you do you think she should keep doing it?
I mean, college, you know, she started to call by saying it was very important to her. So I don't want to tell her to stop saving for
college. I'm not saying that kid to go to, like, community college and help. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No. I mean, if you – I don't think this – you're not going to save enough to pay full freight for – even if it's a public school. You're just not going to be able to do that. So let's take that off the table as, like, the goal.
Okay. Yeah,
when that child is 18 years old, you're going to have about $100,000 saved, which is great.
Yeah, it's great, but it's not – everything you need. But I would much prefer you to just kind of, again, if you were doing triage and we're in the ER, let's use the pit. Who do you want to be, Mark?
I don't remember any of the characters' names.
I'm like Dr. Sidebangs.
But I can go with the analogy.
I'm coming in strong with Dr. Sidebangs. And you come in and you give me this information. I say, Mom, you guys, kid. That's what I think.
Great.
And I think that you can continue to make yourself crazy, or we can get you a better night's sleep, because I only know this because she wrote this in the email, which said she wasn't sleeping so great. I think you will feel better if we have a game plan. So I think the game plan starts with getting information about mom. You keep doing what you're going to do for retirement. And you can, I don't know about 57. I'm thinking 62, but that's me.
Just keep doing what you're doing. We'll see what happens when the time comes.
Exactly. You'll give us a holler in a couple of years and let us know. But in fact, I really encourage you, Chris, to try as much as you can to sit down with your partner and say, here's what I think is the kind of the game plan, the priorities. Here's what I see.
Okay.
Share this responsibility. You're burdened by it. You know, she's a poor thing. She cried when we started talking about it.
I almost cried. You know how I am.
Mark, oh my God, if Mark starts to cry, we're in big trouble because he can't stop. He does cry. He's a crier.
Once a year, I'm good for it, right?
At least.
Yeah.
It usually has to do with illness and an elderly person. Sometimes it's somebody. Someone called with like end stage cancer and Mark started crying on the air. I'm like, stop crying. Gosh. We have to be good about this. So, Chris, we're here for you. Mom, you... kid.
Okay.
I think this is a very important issue. I have heard so much from people in their, I would say, late 30s, early 40s, that they are in this exact situation, Mark. And you know when they found out exactly what was going on with their parents? Either it's a diagnosis or it was during COVID, where you found out exactly, like, what's going on with my parents again and their financial lives. If you suspect that your parents are not in great shape, you need to have conversations. And if you're really worried about it, get your parent to come on the air with us. You can do it audio or video. We'll walk through and we'll talk about the way we need to manage this. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. It was like actually a really important question. So thanks for joining us and we appreciate it.
Come back on anytime.
Thank you
shoot
both
us
very much.
Shoot us a note. Let us know when you want to come back. Okay.
Thank you so much. I actually feel so much better.
Oh, see? Unburdened, baby. Unburdened.
Unburdened. Okay. Yeah,
all right.
I appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye. Well, okay, it's time for the TikTok takedown. That's where we play a social video that purports to give financial advice. And we try to determine whether it's legit or not. Good advice, not such good advice. We peel back the onion for you. So let's cue this week's version.
If you have to own stocks, own them outside America. Don't own U.S. stocks.
No.
That's a nice, simple strategy that you can act on.
Why?
They're much cheaper. And since the beginning of last year, they have handsomely outperformed the U.S.
Foreign stocks.
Foreign stocks of emerging countries, of European countries, Japan, Canada, Australia, and so on. You can find good broad indices, kind of the world ex-U.S., or emerging markets and
invest outside of America.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll muddle through okay over the next 10 or 20 years. And I am not confident that the U.S. will do that.
You're not confident in which part? That the U.S.
I'm not confident that U.S. equities will be intact in 5 years, 10 years.
So a U.S. equity is a U.S. stock?
Yes.
Why aren't you confident that they'll be intact in 5 or 10 years?
Because they're so badly overpriced today.
Oh, this gets, this fries my onions, man. Ooh, I want to tell you something. Not confident that U.S. stocks are going to be around in 5 or 10 years. What an outrageous thing to say.
I guess the U.S. market is going to, you know,
go to zero.
Go bust.
Yeah, going to go to zero. What about 100 years of data?
Yeah,
where U.S. stocks grow by 10% a year, billionaire. Where do you get his billions?
I mean, yeah, go invest in the foreign stock market, sure. But don't ignore the U.S. stock market. Are you kidding me? That should be the bulk of your investment.
By the way, do you like his time horizon? From the beginning
last
of
year.
Last year, they've outperformed. How about we look at the last 50 years, and the U.S. has trounced the rest of the world. And it doesn't mean that you should ignore the rest of the world,
no.
But this is absolutely insane.
Dangerous advice. If someone's actually watching this and you know, God forbid, reallocating their portfolio based on what he just said.
So, Mark, this guy is a legendary investor. His name is Jeremy Grantham.
Okay.
He is a bit of a doomsayer. He has been writing and talking about bad things that could happen to the market, which sometimes they do happen. He is predicting that the U.S. markets will tumble by, you know, 60, 70%. And he is a legend, but I think that this is somewhat wrong-headed advice. And even if you are a legend, doesn't mean you're always right. Let's say he's right. Let's just do 1 minute. Let's say the stock market is overvalued. Let's say that we're going to have a crash wipeout like we had in 2008-09. Okay? Let's just pretend that happens. So what? The rest of the world's going to do fine if the U.S. market is going into the toilet? That's ridiculous.
If the U.S. market went into the toilet by that much, it's dragging down the rest
Everyone's
of the
Everyone's coming along for the ride. Anyway, if you see anyone with a fancy accent telling you to do something, send us the video. Because I'm sure that half of the battle is that if you said, instead of saying billionaire, if we said, we took that word out and we said, old fart explains why everyone should buy foreign stocks instead of U.S. And I love the little emoji that they put in there.
Don't be mean, Jill. Don't be mean.
I'm just saying. I mean, it would be – I'm an old fart also, so I am of the cohort. Just know that. I'm the same cohort. All I'm saying is this. It is not rational that somebody goes on a broadcast platform and says something like this who has – a ton of investing experience. I just don't think that that's, I don't think that that's like a rational approach. Even if he believes it, if you run across more of Jeremy Grantham or anyone else who's predicting the end of the stock market, the ups, the downs, you know, we don't believe in market timing. If you see that, send it to us. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the contact us button, write us a note. And if you wish to come on the program and ask us your own jillionaire question, just check the audio or the video box and we'll get you on. We got a whole team here. They put the show together. We always thank you for listening and watching. You can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening, come to the YouTube page. Make sure that you don't miss an episode. You can subscribe. You can follow. You can do all those things. You can promote. I think if you watch it on your phone, you can promote it. There's some button you can push. The kids tell me all about this, Mark. Anyway, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.